Recorded Books presents The Family Chow by Lan Samantha Chang. Narrated by Brian Nishi. Part 1. They See Themselves. For 35 years, everyone supported Leo Chow's restaurant, introducing choosy newcomers by showing off some real Chinese food in Haven, Wisconsin. Bringing children, parents, grandparents not wanting to dine out with the Americans, not wanting to think about which fork to use. You could say the manifold tensions of life in the new country, the focus on the future, tracking incremental gains and losses, were relieved by the fine chow. Sitting down under the dusty red lanterns, gazing at Leo's latest calendar with the limp-haired Taiwanese sylphs that Winnie hated so much, waiting for supper, everyone felt calm. In dark times, when you're feeling homesick or defeated, there is really nothing like a good steaming soup and dumplings made from scratch. Winnie and Big Leo Chow were serving scallion pancakes decades before you could find them outside of a home kitchen. Leo, 35 years ago, winning his first poker game against the owners of a local poultry farm, exchanged his chips for birds that Winnie transformed into the shining, chestnut-colored duck dishes of far-off cities. Dear Winnie, rolling out her bing the homemade way, two pats of dough together with a seal of oil in between, letting them rise to a steaming bubble in the piping pan. Leo, bargaining for hard-to-get ingredients. Winnie subbing wax beans for yard-long beans, plus home-growing the garlic greens, chives, and hot peppers you used to never find in Haven. Their garden giving off a glorious smell. You could say the community ate its way through the Chow family's distress. Not caring whether Winnie was happy, whether Big Chow was an honest man. Everyone took in the food on one side of their mouths, and from the other side they extolled the parents for their son's accomplishments, heaping praise upon the three boys who grew up all bright and ambitious, who earned scholarships to good colleges, commending them for leaving the Midwest. Yet everyone was thankful when the oldest, Dago Chow, returned to Haven. Dago, coming home to his mother, moving into the apartment over the restaurant, working there 6 days a week. Dago, the most passionate cook in the family. Despite the trouble between Winnie and Big Chow, everyone assumed the business would be handed down fairly, peacefully, father to son. Now, a year after the shame, the intemperate and scandalous events that began on a winter evening in Union Station, the community defends its 35-year indifference to the Chow family's troubles by saying, no one could have believed that such good food was cooked by a bad person. December 21st. Family.
Please help, young man.
Through the crowd at Union Station, slipping in and out among the travelers, the frail voice reaches James Chow's inner ear. A first-year college student, James has lost his Mandarin, forgotten the language as a toddler with two older brothers teaching, loving, and tormenting him exclusively in English. Only from time to time, when he's not expecting it, will a spoken phrase of Mandarin filter to this innermost chamber of his ear and steal into his consciousness.
Please help!
James turns. He's looking into the face of an old man. The stranger might be in his 70s, close to his father's age, but he is altogether more frail than Big Leo. He clutches an ancient blue traveling bag in one hand, stooping with the weight of it, and his eyes are milky with time. He's seen through the cataracts, can see beyond James's generic jeans and hoodie to recognize another Chinese man. Can the familiarity be also in their movements, something in the way they look at one another? Is it in the stranger's way of gripping his luggage, mirroring James's grasp on the greasy paper bag of vegetable jiaolijiao he's bringing home for his mother? I'm sorry, James says. I don't speak Mandarin. Here's a liability of his. He always wants to help, but his ignorance makes him useless to his own kind. Not just to this man, but to every
Sample complete. Ready to continue?